Welcome, Anime Lately Podcast listeners and YouTube podcast watchers, to another episode of the Anime Lately Podcast. I'm your host, Sam the Manga Man, and we're here with me are my brotakus. Introducing first, the Game Master, resurrected from the dead like Jon Snow, the director of anime, Mr. King of Games himself, Ray Apollo! Our next legendary co-host is a true believer legend in the Black Clover community. He has a great love for Trigon and One Piece. The one, the amazing, the spectacular, legendary, the Vash, Miguel And finally, our last co-host. He is the CEO of the Careful for Spoiler Podcast Network, the founder of the No Anime, No Life Facebook group. He has a great love and knowledge for movies, the great and talented JB, James Bond. How y'all doing
great, always to do this with you guys, and always an entertaining time to just hear Sam hopefully not lose his voice one day, but definitely great time.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. I mean, there was no Moomin Rider slander in the last episode, so everything's great.
I will not allow Moomin Rider slander on,
and that's
podcast.
Why I love you, James. I'm glad
I'm being loved one way or another by Sam, at least by somebody.
Yep, I gave you all your good intros. You know, that's all out of love.
Oh, good. Definitely. I'm glad.
It's really fun. All right, guys. Let's start with our weekly anime watching and manga reading. Protakus, we have to finish this one. We've all finished this last series. Demon Slayer, episode 26.
26. Wow. It's crazy how there's been a 26 to a core of one season. And this season was amazing. Demon Slayer, got good pops to it. It's been a great time, entertaining for what it was. And we have such a great MC, Tanjiro. 5 years ago, we got Deku in the manga, and 3 years ago-ish with the anime. And it's Asta. Definitely, yeah, about 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, I think 3 years ago was Black Clover and Asta.
So yeah, 2 years ago. No, that was 2 years ago for Black Clover. But we don't count that as a great MC right now. Okay. But definitely love how Tanjiro became a lot of people's favorites, MC character. He's lovable, and we have Nezuko as well. It's very enjoyable.
You know why? It's because Tanjiro is very well written, and most people know that Tanjiro is a character that is written to be unrealistic, but people would strive to be like him, and that's why. Tanjiro is so wholesome, and he can't do any wrong, I think. At least not yet. I love Tanjiro. Tanjiro, he's a character you would strive to be like, and that's why he's so important, I think.
Yeah, I love Demon Slayer. Episode 26 was great. I feel like it's a great way to wrap up everything that we've seen and to get us ready for what's to come in the movie and the next season. Like, I love Tanjiro. Like, he is easily one of my favorite shonen characters right now. And there's something that the animators do that you don't see in a lot of other anime. You always see the calluses on his hands.
I'm so glad you brought that up, James. I'm so glad you brought that up, because to me, every time I see that, it's his hard work. Exactly. It is literally the manifestation of his hard work. That means so much, and I'm so glad they do that. You're right.
Yeah,
amazing. And it shows how his hands has gotten big, and it shows, like, all those blisters, because, like, I remember when I was back playing handball and go to gym, I would have those blisters on my hands, and that's great that you brought it up, James, because I didn't really realize that they always put those details showing that how his hands is always bruised up, and it's always, like, it shows his hard work and hard labor he puts in just to actually be very devoted.
Definitely, for sure. Like, Tanjiro is one of the good boys within the shonen, like, series of any main character. He's, like, the most wholesomest good boy you've ever seen. He's not the most strongest out of a lot of the shonen characters, which so many shonen jump fans, they only care about power level and all that stuff, and that's the reason why they're favorites.
Tanjiro is driven by sheer determination.
He is power. Mm-hmm. He is. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you right now, for all those boys who are like, Demon Slayer is the best character ever, but these are also the same dudes who complained about Deku crying so much.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it. Because you have an emotional main character just like Deku, but you love him. So I'm like, I don't know what the disconnect is. Guess what? They're both equally strong and equally show their emotions. So here we are.
True. That's true. Very true. With Deku, it's all about trying to succeed and to be the number one hero. With Tanjiro, it's really just to help cure her sister.
It's two different goals, but the same thing.
To be fair, he doesn't want to become the number one hero just for fame. He's doing it because he wants to protect and serve, just like every other hero does. He wants to put his life on the line and be willing to do what it takes to help people.
So you're further pushing why I feel like people judged Deku too quickly, I think.
That was me, because that's the reason why I didn't watch season one. I was late on the train on season one of My Hero Academia. I watched season two. I watched season one a week before season two came out, and I got on the hype train because season two trailer looked pretty cool. So like, let's see season one. And I was not one of the people that say he was a crybaby. I just say that he was real annoying. Like, my dude already. Come on, chop chop. Become the MC already.
That's so what I love about him, though, because...
Exactly, because you guys love Zenitsu. You love him, and he cries way more than Deku.
Deku is scared shitless all the time, but he is still willing to put his life on the line to do what needs to be done. That's a true hero.
Even though
he's scared, he will put on a smile just like All Might and do what needs to be done to save the day. That's a hero.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not to make this a My Hero conversation, but yes. He is 100% the definition of a hero.
But by the way, guys, you will get My Hero conversation week to week starting next week when My Hero comes starting back. So just be ready for that.
Just so you know, because I'm not afraid to say it. I am a My Hero fanboy. I love My Hero Academia.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. All Might and Deku are some of my favorite characters ever created. So, yes, be prepared.
Yeah, so be prepared for probably a 30-minute conversation about My Hero. So be ready when it comes out next week.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up.
Back to Demon Slayer is that also we should just talk about it since we're on already. It ended, and then they show a preview of what's going to happen with the movie and of how Rengoku would be the main focus on it since he's on the poster and he was on that clip. And also of how Muzan is fucking Orochimaru. In this whole clip of 26.
But the best version of Orochimaru we could have ever gotten. I love Muzan. Like, as a villain, to me, in anime, he is the perfect, like, villain.
The memes were amazing of how people say, Michael Jackson wear black, and then he wear white. Just like how Muzan went man to woman.
Oh, my God. A shapeshifter, which is terrifying, by the way, because that's how he's always evaded the high level demon slayers.
What's scarier is that he can change his aura, because looking different
exactly,
is one thing, but you can't
exactly. But you know what I saw immediately, and they did this on purpose. The eyes saw Nezuko.
Sam brought that up.
I brought that up during the
because reason. I didn't notice that. I didn't know that until Sam brought that. I was like, wait, my dude, you're right.
It looks exactly like Nezuko to a point. And I'm like, you're doing that on purpose. But what are you trying to tell us? And I don't want to read ahead, but I've been so close to just like reading a few chapters ahead.
It's giving that message where Muzan, like, yo, she's my daughter now. She has my blood in there. Yeah,
basically.
You know exactly what it means.
She is Muzan 2.0. She is. And we're going to learn that.
Or what Ray said, I think, a couple episodes ago, saying that Nezuko is probably one of the 12.
Oh, she's 100% upper level 12. 100%.
She's probably unofficially one of the 12 Heavenly Eyes, but she's hide their power. I'm starting to believe Ray's theory of that she's being one of
them. Dude, Nezuko is Blade.
So basically, Blade. Basically, you're right. You're 100% right. She is Blade to this universe.
Because Muzan is Dracula. He's pretty much Dracula, but this is a world of demons. And Nezuko can, she's the Daywalker. She will be the one to be just as powerful as him. Mm-hmm. And her and Tanjiro. I mean, I'm just so excited, dude.
I agree.
I love it.
I love our fans. I love all the people that come and watch our videos. But one of them spoiled something that what James just said. And I was like, why? Why you gotta spoil it for us? Just
don't say don't you say nothing else. Or I'm gonna come through the screen. Don't you say nothing else.
And like, I was enjoying it so much. And then he just said, like, hey, you know what, guys? This happens. Shut this up. Happens soon.
No,
and
I don't want. Like,
I was so upset. Me and Ray, me and James, I mean, me and Sam were like, but why? But why? And so true, though.
No, I don't want to know.
Just saying, all of us that are here talking the panel, we predict it coming true. We just don't want to know about it confirming true until we watch the anime, guys. And I was like, cool.
Sometimes you just want to hear that we were right, or you were right.
I mean, let's be honest. I always want to know if I'm right about something, but still, I don't want to know until it actually happens.
That's so true.
And then next moment, I was right.
I was right. Yeah. But guys didn't have to tell me.
God, Demon Slayers.
I think the next scary thing about Muzan was that he's able to read your mind.
Oh, yeah.
He's able to read the people who has his blood. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody who has his blood, he's able to read his mind. And I'm very worried about Nezuko when that time comes.
Oh, of course.
Like Dracula. Every vampire stems from Dracula. Therefore, he on some level controls you.
So we see Nezuko as Alucard, then the person who has to kill his own father.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Technically, yes. And I think that's what's happening.
And then hold up. Then technically, would Tanjiro, wouldn't he be the house of
Belmont?
The Belmont? Yes. He would be a Belmont house, yes.
Because of what the earrings and his father is? Could that be connected? We're hitting something on the nail here.
I mean, this is 100. I feel like Tanjiro's family has always been a Demon Slayer family.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, he is the most recent version of the Demon Slayer.
So that's pretty interesting. So he technically could be the house of Belmont here if it goes like this route. And then this is where Nezuko is Alucard, and then
she's also technically the wizard girl too, because she can use the blood demon art magic, the fire that she did.
To a point.
Yeah. I feel like she'll get stronger. I feel like she'll get stronger and then be able to use Nezuko that magic.
Nezuko is already stronger than Tanjiro. Straight up. Only reason why Tanjiro was able to do any of the stuff against Rui was because of Nezuko. Yeah.
So I have no idea. I'm not basing this off of anything. I think at some point Nezuko is going to drink Tanjiro's blood so that she can become stronger in the middle of a fight to go up against.
You are 100% correct.
I am not basing that on anything.
Me
that
neither.
Sounds cool as fuck.
I feel like it's true. My girl is telling me, like, yo, we have read so much and known so much. So I'm like, that's possibly true. And we might hit something new. All right, guys. So we have to click here. Episode 23 is for definitely that we have to look back on to know if we're right.
Well, for sure. I feel like something like that was going to happen. Like, for Nezuko to avoid eating any human, Tundra would sacrifice himself.
Oh, 100%.
Before she let her eat someone else. And then that way
they don't die in the middle of a fight. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll happen against the number one. It won't be anybody else since this number one. It won't be Muzan. It'll be the number one demon from right under the Muzan that it'll happen with. That's where it's going to be.
And it's also interesting news that the bottom 12 always gets replaced and switched around, but never the
bottom
top
12
six.
No longer exists. Spoilers.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
No, 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 no. Before, no, before, no,
that.
No,
there is Muzan. No,
Muzan. No, Muzan explained to himself to explain the six, the bottom six before he killed them all, saying, mm-hmm. each and every of you guys keeps getting replaced, never been able to kill a Demon Slayer, never been able to kill Hashiras. Only like the top six were able to do that. So you know what?
Because it showed you how powerful they are.
We don't need them anymore.
So you know who's going to die, who's been talking about it every episode that I've been, since the last episode, since the episode I wasn't on, we know who's going to die. It's not going to be, the Flame Hashira's fine. He's not going to die.
Rengoku might die. He might die because
he will not die.
It's his movie, so I'm like, he might
see it happening.
He's not gonna die.
He might get really damaged then. He might get really hurt.
So I'll tell you why he's not gonna die. He's not gonna die because he has to train Tanjiro.
Exactly. He's the one who's going to train.
So he's going to be around for a while.
Very surprised if he does not survive this movie. I'll be very surprised. We know who's going to die in his place. We know. We've been talking about it. Shinobu's dead.
Oh, she's so gone, dude.
She's so gone. She's so dead.
If she's dying, I'll say in the middle of season two. Or
she's going to die at the beginning of season two.
Oh, nah. Beginning, nah. That's too early. Beginning.
Nah. No. I give it six episodes. She's dead.
I think the demon that was spared at the end, I think mm-hmm. he's gonna kill her.
Exactly, because he's the one that has to prove itself.
Of course, there had to be a perverted demon. Of course, there had to be a perverted demon who wants using blood and just wants more and just be very, what's the word?
Masochist.
Yes, thank you. Like just loves pain. Yeah, of course,
it's a demon. it's literally a demon. Like this character that they created is straight up a demon. He wants nothing but ruin and
destruction.
Exactly, for everybody else except for him. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like even if it's everybody else, he's okay with being the last one to die. Like he was just so happy.
Well, I mean, I think he expected to die, and that's why he lived. So, yeah. I mean, let's talk about this then. So this episode, we're talking about episode 26. Let's talk about the contrast between when the Demon Slayers met their master versus when these demons met Muzan. Mm-hmm. This was nuts. The complete polar opposite, which was, honestly was perfect for what this universe is built. Muzan is ruthless and scary. And all of the demons are terrified of him. And it showed. And they did such a good job. You know how I hate the 3D stuff most times?
Yeah, the CG.
In this case, it worked really, really well.
Except for the blood. The blood looked terrible.
I thought the blood worked. I just think that it wasn't necessary.
Bothered me a bit. Like this, the CG could have been a bit more work on, but I don't know if we have that type of animation style yet to have it perfect. And I do agree. I want to hit something else on what Ray said is that the animation, but also the cinematography in this scene showing how no matter where you go, you can't escape Muzan. Mm-hmm. That the dude tried to escape. And he got his head cut off still, stupid. No matter what.
Instantly.
Why would you think you could outrun him?
And that's what I love about the maze. The maze was beautiful because it showed that no matter where you go, how fast you can be and how fast you try to run, we can get you and kill you.
It didn't even have to be a maze.
No, it didn't. That was just a flex of Muzan's power. Really. Oh, yeah. It was just a flex of how powerful and how quick he is. Because let's think about it. In all of these weird like versus battles, speed wins every single time.
Oh yeah.
And they showed how fast he was. And it was impossibly fast. So I'm really worried about our Demon Slayers when it comes to fighting Muzan. I'm like, it's really gonna take all of them to fight him.
Well, it is Tanjiro's destiny.
It's his destiny, but it won't just be him. If it came down to Tanjiro versus him, there's no way.
It'll definitely be a team effort.
It'll be a team effort of not just him and Nezuko, but like multiple Hashiras.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
Also, to talk about the overall season, was there any disappointment for you guys? Because I have one disappointment.
For Demon Slayer? No. Not at all. For me, no.
My personal, this is not like an actual flaw of the series. I know that we're going to get it more fleshed out during season two or the movie, whatever it may be, is for Gaiu and Tanjiro interaction. I wish it was more of them in the last arc that we saw. Like, they were near each other's house, most likely. So I wish we saw Gaiu and Tanjiro interaction more, but that's more probably going to be set up more in the future.
I don't know. I felt like in this last episode, I had enough. Honestly, I was happy that he even talked to Tanjiro, that he acknowledged everything that they've gone through, that he went through for them, which was awesome to me. But beyond that, I thought it was honestly enough.
Like, just for me as personal, I wish they interacted more, but I know that's gonna be more set up for the future for them to go on some probably missions together or something like that.
I don't know. I don't think you're gonna get a lot of them together. I really don't think so.
I agree. I don't think we'll ever see them together until some kind of final battle.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe the end, but I don't think you can get a lot of them together because they don't want to draw that parallel, because Tanjiro idolizes him and wants to be like him.
True.
And so I don't think you're gonna see a lot of them together.
That's
gonna be Nezuko.
That's why they haven't been together throughout this first season. Exactly. Because I mean they're on two different levels, and we need to see Tanjiro's journey with everyone else until he gets close to that level.
Right.
And maybe he might not, but until he gets higher up, I don't think we'll see.
I mean, and let's be real, Tanjiro will get a main character power up, which will put him on par, if not higher than him. I mean, just because, you know, bloodlines, that happens. That's a thing. But once he learns the flame technique, it'll be really cool to see them fight together when he's at that level. It'll be really cool. So I'm not worried.
Fire and water combination.
Why exactly. Not?
And but technically that fire has some water flow into it. So
we're not sure yet. Tanjiro's style can be completely different by the time we're done. Different.
That's true. But for sure, we're looking forward to the movie. And
yeah, the movie's awesome.
Season two.
I'm very excited about the movie. Very, like this. I am very happy this series has been popular enough that they were like, let's do a movie.
And I'm happy. It makes me happy. How many ways of this year we've gotten this type of teaser at the end of the show? Like, we got in it from this year, The Promised Neverland, and then we got it this year from The Rise of She-Hulk as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of great seasons have gotten movie or some type of new season coming out. So I'm very happy about that.
Let's be real. It's because they have a lot of stories until they can't fit until the next season.
Yeah.
And they earn enough fan base, the popularity where, you know what? We got it. We got this, like, another season where we have greenlit for a movie. So even better. We don't have to squeeze it all in within this last episode.
And agreed. Exactly. It's like we have an entire movie to span out some of the storytelling and bridge everything from this season to next season in a movie, which is awesome. Yep. I love that.
What's insane is people from the manga reader are saying like this one movie is not enough to cover this entire arc.
That's manga readers in general. Yeah, I love manga readers, but y'all sometimes too much.
Like they complain.
Selfish.
They don't think a 16 chapter arc is enough. One movie is enough for it.
So, I mean, it'll be a combination of it being condensed and also it's going to pick up at the beginning of the next season.
Of course.
They're not going to stick everything into a movie.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's going to be 90 minutes, maybe less. Probably less.
Like, but it's crazy how to believe how Demon Slayer is so popular with the anime and will push it. And back then, when the manga first came out, it used to have a hashtag down, cancel Demon Slayer. Because a lot of people didn't grow on it when it first came out. Now, there's a huge fan base for Demon Slayer anime. So, look at how the years have changed for this series and this series. And how it has already made 7 million copies sold already in the manga. And the anime has pushed it this much. So, I'm very proud of it.
I will say that this anime adaptation has been exceptional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of anime adaptations are this good. This is an exceptional anime adaptation. So I mean, yes, while the source material, the manga, was good, this anime is far above anything else we've gotten in a while. So that's why it's as popular as it is, and I understand that.
Yeah, and it's like one of the first animes that's getting a movie after its first season.
Not many get that at all. You're 100% correct.
Black Clover hasn't even gotten a movie announced yet.
So, My Hero had to have three seasons before Two Heroes.
And Seven Deadly Sins got two seasons, then a movie.
I mean, I will say My Hero was also like one of those exceptions, let's be real. But like this anime is very good compared to the... I mean, not that the manga's bad, it's just that this just hit every note really well for an anime.
Oh, yeah, it did.
That's true. There's also the Fate series, too. Fate Stay Night as well.
That's a whole different story.
Fate's a very different story because it has a very different background. Very different background. And I won't say that it, I mean, y'all went to Hentai Panel, so y'all know it's fine.
That's why, if you guys that's haven't why heard Fate's that so podcast, popular. You definitely listen to that.
That's why Fate's so popular, let me tell you right now. I mean, it's great, but it also has a... Yeah.
Which is funny. That's one of our highest download on podcasts.
Nuh-uh.
It is.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Yes. Guys, let's move on to our next anime. Dr. Stone episode 13, the last episode of the first core.
It was very good. Definitely entertaining. He finally entered the village. Madu finally entered the village, and the girl shook him and said, "What's your last name?" So I was like, "Oh, I was so happy! Like, say it. Let's get
lore.
Into it." But like, no,
lore. Yes,
no, I can't wait until the backstory. Like, Ray, you don't know how excited I was. So excited to hear the backstory. But I was waiting for it.
Because I was like, you. "Why do you even know what a last name is? What have you seen? Mm-hmm. What do you know?"
Dr. Stone has been the one most entertaining anime this entire season. When I say entertaining, I mean it's just been. I know I can watch Dr. Stone, and I'm gonna have a good time of it's all the anime we got this season. And it's written well. It's written really well. And this one was the one I told you from the start was going to be the hardest one to sell, and they did a very good job. They did a very good job selling this anime because this anime shouldn't work. It shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
But it does, and it works really well. So I'm really happy it's been where it is.
Really fun, really easy to understand, and it makes it really cool when you see all of these things coming together, them trying to make this cure-all drug. Like it's really cool watching the process, creating electricity, seeing what you could do with sulfuric acid, making hydrochloric acid. Like, it's crazy the amount of stuff that they go through in this anime.
One thing I have to give props to the most is a director and for the key visuals of how, like Ray says, how this anime is very hard to sell. Not a lot of people enjoy it. I don't know that if I showed this type of anime to my girlfriend, will she like it? Will she enjoy it? I don't know. But one thing I have to give a props to is the director, that he makes those cut scenes from the low angle shots to show about Senku's shock face. Like, what do you know and why do you know about last name? Like, they show those cut scenes very well and really make you like the shock face and the great animation shots about his face, like the eyes, the detail, and plus the expression. So that's one thing I want to give a props to, is the all about the direction and the plus the animation scenes.
So I will say this was the first time I've liked Kinro.
Which is completely understandable. I feel like this was the first time they meant to make him likable. Honestly.
Yeah. And like I thought his fight with what's his name? Magma. Yeah, I thought that fight was great. Watching him saying that he's fighting for his friends, he can't lose because of his friends, and him finally embracing the power of science and watching him fight against him. I thought that fight was amazing. I thought the choreography was really good.
Agreed.
I thought it was a really good way of showing a character rising above someone that has been above him for so long. You know what I mean? Because he refused to embrace this one thing, and now that he has embraced science, embraced friendship, like, he's able to grow as a person. And I think that's really important to show with all of these characters.
One of my favorite things that I saw on Twitter is that once he put the watermelon on him, everybody said, why did this feel like a Power Ranger shot where like some random explosion just came out? Because
it was.
It definitely was. I'll give amazing. It that.
Like, literally power, like literally explosion came out of nowhere.
I thought it was really badass though.
It was badass. So the shot hit with the, like, when the spear came out, like, let's go. I was like, okay,
hell yeah.
Let's go.
It worked really well.
It did.
It worked really well.
It worked so much better than having a golden spear to fight.
I mean, that would have worked just fine too.
I mean, he never really got the golden spear again to fight
Magma. I'm sure he will at some point.
He will in the future. That's one thing I would say, he will in the future. And Shuki is my favorite. The way she turns and just threw the whole watermelon on his head, like being so extra, rolling down the stairs and doing like a whole.
She's awesome.
Here you go. She's cute. She's adorable.
She's a great character. So I was very happy to see that.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, when next episode for episode 14, we're gonna have a new opening and ending. So we're gonna check that out.
Definitely excited.
Tomorrow? Friday?
Yes.
The following Friday that's coming up.
Yes.
All right, guys, let's move on to Danmachi Season 2, Episode 12, the season finale of Season 2.
So, Ray, what do you want to talk about first? The OVA, the overall Season 2, and or the Season 3 announcement?
I mean, the overall Season 2.
All right.
I feel like anybody who watched the first season is disappointed in this season, mostly because it should have been better than it was. I will say that I did not pay attention. This was an anime for me to easily ignore in a bad way, because we had such good anime this season. Like there were parts that like, oh, okay, I see little bits of the first season there. It was good. But overall, season two of Danmachi wasn't good. I mean, and if you want to argue why it was good, I'd be glad to see it / hear it, but it just wasn't.
What's crazy is that it's my anime list group. It scored slightly higher in points than the first season of Danmachi,
which makes no sense.
And I do agree, because most of our fans have told us that they rushed this season with the light novel to skip a lot of story, and I do agree with Ray. Like overall, arc's cute. Overall, the season, it was something that I would probably not binge again. I would binge season one again just because it's enjoyable.
I will never watch this season again.
Yeah, never. I mean,
this is just how media works. Because, I mean, it's the same thing in movies. Look at Spider-Man 3. That one made the most money, and it's the worst one out of the Raimi trilogy. I mean, but it made the most money because there was a built-in audience. And it was like, holy shit, there's more of what I love. And everyone went. And it's like, well, this is a piece of shit. So same thing with this anime. I mean, I haven't seen it, but from what you guys have been talking about, season one was great. So that built-in audience came to watch season two, and
I mean, because we wanted more. We literally, yeah. You're right. We wanted more of what we had, and we didn't get it. So yes, people watched it because it was there.
This felt like season two had the spirit of season one, but the best way I could put it felt like How to Not Summon a Demon Lord, of how it felt more of an edgy story. Without a story of Bell and his adventure. And you've had the adventure, there was more of chase it down to distress in two arcs, and also have two arcs of War Games. That's what I felt like. The story felt all over the place. So it was enjoyable. It was nice seeing Bell go from level two to level three again within 2 weeks, maybe, or 3 weeks.
A month and a half.
I mean, yeah, it was good, but it was also very forgettable very quickly.
So I'm like, wait, he's level three, I forgot, but then we had to get reminded. And then to note that there's a girl that we need to convince her that she's not a whore because she technically never had sex. So I'm like, huh? Okay, cool. So that was something that it was laughable and sad, and we also had a nice Hestia story.
I kind of feel like Danmachi wants to be like Fate, but is not committed to go full hentai like Fate did initially.
I wish I understood that reference.
If you guys don't know, Fate is a hentai series that was made into an anime, straight up.
I did not know that.
Did not know that.
Oh, yes, it is very adult. Fate is, and Danmachi wants to be that, but it won't commit, and that's why it's kind of half-assed sometimes. But Danmachi season one was fantastic and did just fine without doing that. And this season really wanted to try and get into those like more mature themes, but like half-assed it. And so that's why, it didn't work.
From what the OVA shows, it seems like it is going to try to go even more with the etchy stuff, but will not cross the same line as Fate.
No. Fate, they take a lot out of Fate, but Fate is still really good because it's still super dark. It's still super mature, just without a lot of the hentai stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, the Danmachi OVA looks interesting because we see ice in a bikini, so that's something that we don't usually get, so that's pretty interesting. And their previous OVA with the spring one was pretty nice, so I like that one. So this one's a beach one now, so I'm curious to see how that goes. And season three being announced next year, so hopefully they have time to not really rush it, even though it's not within a year now. And last time we had, how long did you guys have to wait last time? 5 years? 4 years?
Too long.
It was a long time. Right. I mean, I'll be honest. It's not that I'm looking forward to. Like, I don't have to have super mature themes in my entertainment to enjoy it. I don't. I don't have to have that.
Yeah.
It's just that if you want to do something well, like either commit or don't. You know what I'm saying? Just do it one way or another.
Agreed. Yeah. So that's something I'm excited for season three. Not because I love season two, but it's because I want to see a better growth and I see a better season. I want to see a better development. I want to see a better arc and a better story. So I'm being optimistic here, as always, here on this podcast. I'm probably the most optimistic one about stuff that's probably negative. So let's see where season three goes. And OVA, beach scene. Definitely see Hestia and some nice titties.
I mean, I would have liked it more if they gave season two to Sword Ontario. Or that would have worked too.
Maybe they'll have that in the works too. And maybe that'll get announced as well in 2021. So
I feel like trying to ring Don Machi is
dying out. Yes.
Honestly, I think so.
Like it'll still
sell really well. But yeah. in terms of quality, it won't match up to everything else that's out. It just won't.
It may not. But even up to season three, they'll have a little bit more time.
I mean, and Don Machi fans, I'm not sorry, but like you can enjoy what you enjoy, which is fine. I just in terms of everything else that's out, it's not as good. It's just not.
It could have been much better.
Yep. Could have been much better.
All right, guys, let's move on to Vinland Saga episode 12.
Now, this is the good stuff.
James, you're caught up now, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been caught up for a while.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just making sure because it's been a week. So, So we can actually have a Vinland Saga review with everybody here. This is nice. Definitely great episode. Definitely something that was very understanding about religion. And it was very interesting to actually see the betrayal also. It was interesting of how each side have their own whose war to win.
You mean the villages in Wales?
Yes, correct.
Like,
thank you.
All that has nothing to do with both sides. They're like the neutral side in a way, but
now they want to kill or something because the cliffhanger.
From the other village, they want to kind of kill
the prince
now because maybe they made a deal with Dorkill's people. I think it was the Scottish. I forgot the war. I know it's England and something.
It doesn't ring a bell.
But yeah, like in the these Danish. Times, the Danish. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, the Danish. Yeah, the Danish. Right.
In that time, it's like whichever partnership you make, whoever gives you the best benefits if you win the war and stuff. And from this episode, learning about Prince Canute, he can't do anything.
He's a giant pussy.
He has been fed with a giant silver spoon in his mouth.
I will say that he is a regular person, is what it is.
And I feel like
person that's in a sea giant, of warriors.
He's a giant pussy.
He's a normal person. I mean, think about any of us in that situation. Normal person.
But here's the thing. It's different, though. He's Dorfin's age. He's the prince. He never went into real battle in his life. He hasn't been trained to battle in this entire life.
And also, he's religious.
He's religious, but he couldn't really talk to people face-to-face in person. He had to literally talk to his pinhead assistant that helped him to translate
for
him.
Let's think about this, though. We are comparing him to Thorfinn, who watched his father die in battle.
So my thing is, royalty, these people are brought up to have confidence. They are brought up to speak a certain way, to lead a certain way, to eventually become the next ruler. He doesn't have any of these qualities.
Have you seen his dad?
Parents failed him.
Yep. I was about to say that his father's an asshole. Uh-huh. If you guys saw his father was literally like this.
Uh-huh.
In the whole darkness. You barely saw his eyes.
Like his dad is just playing a part. He's not actually like that. At least
be a man and look at this guy in the face
and respond.
Mm-hmm. You're hiding behind this guy, whispering shit into his ear.
I mean, let's be real though. Think about it. All of these other Danes are murderers. They're killers. Like, about that though. They're all killers, and this guy's like, oh, I'm supposed to talk to them.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. You're going to be the ruler of an entire nation.
No, he's not.
And you're going to have huge responsibility on your shoulders.
But no, it kind of reminds me of How to Train Your Dragon, of how Hiccup was supposed to be the next leader, and Hiccup is this pint to how his father was joined this huge giant.
But at least with Hiccup, he's smart. Hiccup was like brilliant. He had so many inventions, and he was smart to do this and questions everything.
But we don't
Prince
know.
Canute,
we don't know if Prince Canute is a smart dude. The Pinhead assistant said that this is probably the next leader we need.
Canute is Askeladd. A character that's supposed to build up Thorfinn. He's supposed to. You're supposed to see him and compare him to what Thorfinn could have been if he was just a kid, and that's exactly what he is. He's a plot device. That's it.
Askeladd believes in Canute that he could probably be the next leader.
I don't buy that either.
I don't buy it, Ray.
We don't know. We don't read those sorts of material. We just hear ideas out.
I am very firm that this character is supposed to learn from Thorfinn and kind of be
Thor's his daughter. She's a badass.
Well, yeah, everyone, she's a badass.
Everyone in their town.
Look at her parents.
It's Thor. Yeah,
they
Thor the giant, the troll.
Fight. Eventually, Thorfinn was going to become a warrior like his father. It was going to happen anyway. I don't buy it.
This is the son of the king. This is the first time he's been in battle in who knows how long. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Like it's the king. The king's only going to battle now to build morale. That's it. That's literally it. So this kid has literally had no reason to even think about it. And then when he became a Christian, made it way worse. So, I mean,
fair point.
I'm just saying, it's like this character it exists for a reason, but is built to grow from our main character, which is Thorfinn.
I could definitely say that. Well, Dorkel, right now, he was chasing after them mainly just to have a rematch against Thorfinn.
I mean, he also wants the prince because he knows if he has the prince,
so he can fight more.
Literally get whatever he want.
But it seemed like the father, Canute's father is such an ass. Where you know what? It took him a long time to pay the commission or
the have an army. The king left him there on purpose because if he dies, it doesn't matter to him.
Is he?
He was chilling there with other soldiers and just chilling there.
He took the entire rest of the army with him because he knew. That they wouldn't survive. He was hoping they wouldn't survive the winter. Is basically what he said when he left.
Don't the king have another two sons?
No.
No.
He had daughters?
I mean, and we all know that every time Askeladd was talking about the future king, guess who else was also in the shot?
Thorfinn.
So, yes.
But does he know that Thorfinn is also related to
Askeladd knows that Thorfinn is the grandson of the king. He knows.
But
he knows.
The thing is, Askeladd, he doesn't talk to his own right-hand man and tell him, hey, what's on your mind? Like, nah, don't worry about it. I'm like, so Askeladd is very mysterious. I think his plan has plans. That's what Askeladd has.
Askeladd believes in Ragnarok and is trying to convince himself that it's not real by asking other people. Askeladd is ready to die. He just assumes that the world is going to end, but is trying to prove himself wrong because of what he knows.
True.
That's it. And I that's why I like Askeladd's character to a point. Not because of the way he treats Thorfinn, but because this is a character that is believable for this time and in this universe that they've created.
I love Askeladd. I think he wants Thorfinn to kill him.
Oh, 100% he wants. That's how he wants to die. That
is the warrior's death.
Well, I mean, if you look at his armor looks like nobody else's. You know why? It's because it's very Roman. Remember how he talked about the Romans?
Yes,
nobody else has armor like him. It's a very Roman kind of mythology. Yeah, he's got a lot of Roman / Viking in him, and he knows that. And I think the commander, who also looked really Roman, by the way, down to the gladius sword.
Yep. I'm like, also these people seem very Romanish, like where they came from those times, or they took the armor from those people. So I'm like, this is more world building with the small cinematography detail that we're getting at, the small designs that we're getting that we need to pick in pieces and what we can theorize.
And now so a little bit of Askeladd's people are beginning to somehow accept Christianity because
I did enjoy that scene. I enjoyed that scene where they were talking with the priest
and how the priest explained
what love was to him, at least in terms of Christianity. It was,
that was beautiful.
I appreciated that scene. That one guy was like, hey, tell me more about this. I want to know about love.
And I love how it wasn't forceful. It was very natural conversation. So I really liked that a lot.
It was good.
When the Vikings are laughing, it kind of reminded me of Conan like what is best in life, and like it's just the women, the money, and like the fame, whatever, anything you want. That's my real god, or really the strong gods, Norse mythology gods like Thor, Odin, are my gods because they're really strong and brawling, and you get to fight all day when you die in heaven. Like, at that point, I think that's just their desire. But when it comes to love with Christianity, it's because Jesus will always love you no matter what you do. Just pray for forgiveness. And
I mean, think about it. They didn't even say that, though.
Exactly.
They didn't even talk about that.
No.
They just talked about love literally as the concept, which was really well done, I thought.
We weren't too sure what this priest was like. He got insane a little bit, and then he went to drinking the alcohol. And it's like, now, which god would you be willing to pray to? The one who made this alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing a really good job with that character, the priest character, anyway. I'm curious to see where that character ends up. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Yo, so I love the ear. This guy doesn't get enough credit. He's amazing.
Agreed.
How the fuck can you hear horses days away from your current location?
Is he blind, by the way? I have a feeling I think he's blind too.
Yeah.
And I thought that made it even more impressive.
It's because I agree with that. Blind. I noticed his eyes being more pale, like where it seems like he has like, wait, is he blind? But I didn't want to
assume. It explains why his other sense is heightened. But
or so guess, heightened. Yes.
2 days away. Like, that's insane.
And then he said, oh, they're half a day. And I'm like, how can you time the difference? Like, oh, they're 6 hours away or 12 hours away. Like, how can you time that? And if I'm just saying, like, that's pretty dope, though. Cool ears.
And like in the ending, he's like telling Iska, like, boss, there's ambush. I hear other arrows and other people, and it's suspicious. And it's like, But even his own boss believed in his own sense of hearing more, like the
hell yeah.
Best one. He knew how to put him in his team.
Next episode is going to be great because Thorfinn's going to get to kill more people, and I'm ready for it.
I mean, I am also excited to see him fight.
And also, we're gonna get the new opening as well for Villain Saga. So I'm very excited to hear some any metal rock band screaming. I want to see that.
And then we also in the end, we see Leif Erikson still on his journey looking for Thorfinn.
That made me happy. I was so happy to see Leif.
He got old.
And then,
time has passed.
He got very scared when he thought he saw Thorfinn in the slave.
I mean, but that means that he's been looking for Thorfinn because he feels bad.
Yeah,
he feels very bad about what happened with Thorfinn and Thors, and so he's been looking for him. Which I was very happy they did that because I'm like, well, is there any connection to his old life?
Yep,
that we're gonna see, and that was it. It made me happy.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Usually we do a quick recap of what else we've been watching and reading, but since summer 2019 animes has ended last week and this week, we want to give you our top 5 summer 2019 anime.
Miguel? I'm going to sneak it in. By the way, Boruto, the manga is great. Read it.
Mm-hmm. Same here as well. We've been reading, but we'll talk about it more next week because I'm pretty excited. I've been reading a lot, so we'll talk about that next week. So
I've been reading a lot of stuff too, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Miguel, your top 5 for the summer 2019.
Start with number 5.
Okay, number 5. Just to put it in there to make one of our co-hosts happy, even though I haven't finished 2 episodes left, but to make him squeal right now.
Don't say it. Oh my God, don't do this.
Isike, Cheetah Magician.
Yes!
For number 5.
Yes!
Look how excited. Come on. You can't tell. That's like a 5-year-old excited in a candy store. I'm how excited to be here.
Is it your birthday?
It is now.
I hate this.
It's so much fun, right?
I can't lie. It's what I sell. It's enjoyable. It doesn't put me to sleep. And it's something where it's easy, more bingeable. And it actually makes me want to watch it the next episode. Like, okay, let's
go. You have to binge it.
Binging was better than watching the weekly. I will admit to that. It was binging watching better than weekly. So definitely number 5. Definitely Isekichi Magician. I will definitely have a better list at the end of the year of what seasonal animes of each summer.
Of all the anime we had, you had Isekichi Magician at number 5?
Because it's that good. It is that much fun.
James, do you have a Isekichi Magician at number 5?
He put it at number three. I bet you when he put it at number three.
I don't think it's on his top five.
I bet you it is.
I doubt it.
I bet you five. One gift sub. I bet you.
All right.
I'll take that. All right.
The bet has been made. James, there's no turning back on your list.
You can put your list out. All right. All right. No, so
my list is locked.
All right. My number four. Now, my number four is going to be. Where is it? Oh, hold up. Hold up. Ah! My number four has to be Hensuki. Are you waiting to fall in love with a pervert?
Really?
Yes.
I'm not surprised.
It's enjoyable. It was stupid.
Hentai panel.
Okay. But also, plotline. I'll tell you guys this. Literally at the end of the anime is the sister that's not really the sister. Is the adopted sister.
That's why you like it. Okay.
Ray, can you repeat that? That's
hentai panel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not my story. It was written. So I was like this. But it was hard because I would definitely put Afroenta, but I don't want to put it at my seasonals because the CG really bothered me, even though it was my favorite SCK of the summer season. So it was that.
Bruh.
Number three is All Maiden in Your Savage Season.
I have not watched that.
It's freaking goddamn beautiful. I only got to episode 9, and oh my God, it made me fucking cry. I didn't tell you guys yet because I want to tell you guys here. It made me actually cry. Not cry in a sad way, but in an emotional way where you actually felt in a high school days where like these girls going through the youth and everything, and it's just beautiful story of love and the story of that type of genre, the coming of an age. Thank you, the coming of age genre. It was very beautiful, so definitely number three. And our number two is To the Band of Sacred Beasts, number two. And number one, as you guys, I don't really need to explain.
I forgive you.
I don't really need to explain this one and two because you guys obviously know if you guys have been listening to the podcast, is Demon Slayer number one.
I forgive you.
And number two is To the Band of Sacred Geese.
I forgive you.
So that's my top five. Nice. From the top of my head, I was not planning this list, so it just came from the top of my head. So I could be changing it next week.
Ray, you're next.
I'm next? Oh, okay then.
Well, on the notes, it says you're next.
What does it? On my notes, it says James is next.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. That's it. James, unless you want to solve that bet right away.
So. I want James to go now because I want the bet settled.
Let's go.
Yeah, so at number five, I have Dr. Stone.
Okay.
Dr. Stone absolutely blew me away. We talked about it before. I love the way that it's able to give you all of this science, all of this action, make it fun, make it interesting. And it's still a learning opportunity for anyone who's watching this. I love Dr. Stone so much. At number four, it's going to be Fire Force. I love Fire Force. It is amazing. I have read 150 chapters of Fire Force.
Oh my God.
Damn.
It is just amazing.
Question.
I'm just going to keep saying the word amazing because I love Fire Force.
Are you caught up to the manga already?
Oh, not yet. I still have like 40 chapters to go.
Okay, but you're literally almost there then.
Yeah, you're almost there.
Yeah, wow. My goal is to get caught up. That's how much I absolutely love Fire Force.
Jeez.
At number three, it's going to be Vinland Saga. Thorfinn is a great character. He reminds me a lot of Eren. I love watching characters. I love watching revenge tales with shonen characters, and I think this is the pinnacle, much like a bunch of other shonen characters that we talked about in the past, that we talked about on this podcast and we'll talk about in the future. Thorfinn is going to be on that list of like top 20 characters for me, and it's only, 12 episodes in right now?
Yes.
Barely. Yeah.
It is 12.
Yeah. Yeah. And I absolutely love that anime. At number two, it's going to be To the Abandoned Sacred Beasts. Mm-hmm. This anime ripped my heart out. It made me fall in love with it. I cheered for it. I love Hank. I love Kane. I love all of these characters. I think it is all around a great anime. The story really is amazing. Like, it's able to just make you feel like shit at the end. But mm-hmm. when your hero is able to accomplish his goal, it's just so rewarding. And I loved I love To the Abandoned Sacred Beast.
Plus, if you guys haven't watched the sub, there's a dub coming out now for the To the Abandoned Sacred Beast. So if you like
not
dub,
interested.
Here's the perfect time to watch it weekly now.
Soon.
At number one, no brainer, is going to be Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is everything. I mean, it gives you everything that you want. Great music, great animation, great sound design, cinematography. You name it, Demon Slayer has it. Tanjiro is, again, one of the greatest shonen characters that I think is out right now. And I just want to watch his journey grow and grow. And I never want to see it end. So it has to be Demon Slayer at number one. I have two honorable mentions. I'll be really quick. I have to show some love to Astro Lost in Space. Wow. The animation's great. The story's great. You have all of these kids all together that have all their own different quirks mm-hmm. that make them an amazing team, but they're still individuals. I think it's really Definitely. Hard to have an anime or any story that focuses on so many different people all at once. So I have to show some love to that. And the Sekai Cheat Magician.
I'm curious, why is that on your list? Why is that not in top five?
I told you, he knows. James is a very smart man. I know.
Everything in my top five is just way better narratively. As far
exactly.
as I'm a story guy.
Uh-huh. James understands very good, well-written, just content. But when it comes to stuff he enjoys, he knows that it's different. It's different.
So you threw me out of here in a curveball.
Well, for starters, you do owe Ray a gift sub, but
You sure do.
I do owe Ray a gift sub, so tomorrow on stream or sometime next week when I'm more free, because when I'm not at New York Comic Con, I will give a gift sub to whoever you want me to. But
you giving it to me.
I will do that. But I didn't expect you to do seasonal course. I thought you're going to do season that ended. That's why I thought you're going to put Cheat Magician on your top five. But once the doctor said, damn, it's not going to be in his list because
it's okay to enjoy something but know what's good. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yes.
So I was like, I still think the story is good, but the five that I picked,
Dr. Stone being on it, I love you more for that reason because Dr. Stone is the MVP to me. Still my favorite summer anime season, but because I'm being biased because I love it. So definitely understandable.
And yet it's not in your top five.
It's because it didn't end the summer. That's why I didn't put it.
We said top five summer anime. You can count the first core. You can.
True, but I want to put ones that ended. That's why. That's awesome.
Technically, I count Demon Slayer from the episode 13.
I think that 26. Was limiting yourself, but you know, that's me. So,
when we do our top 10 2019 list, definitely note that Dr. Stone will be in the top five list.
I'm about to say, when it comes to 2019, that's a completely different list.
Yeah, and I'll be putting Dr. Stone for biased reasons in my top five, so I'll say that right now.
I'm just going to say right now after this episode that Miguel's not a real Dr. Stone fan, but whatever. It's fine.
That's true. I don't have any series here that is the manga or anything like that. So you're totally right. I'm not a real fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a fake fan.
It's not
fake
even in here. Your top five list. Wow.
Hashtag fake fan here.
Phony.
But nice list, James. Definitely threw me the curveball. I was sad that I thought you had it in your list, but understandable. Very understandable once you give your reason because of the...
Understand James. I just understand.
Okay.
A little bit. I'm not going to say I understand it, but I had a really good feeling that
I get it, James, Ray. I just don't understand my friends. That's it. I don't understand my friends here. There's no...
Not yet. You'll get there.
Power here. There's no friendship power here, so I get it.
Yeah.
Ray, no fairy tale involved.
I prefer a much deeper story, rich story, rich characters.
I'm happy nobody had the fairy tale final season on their list. If somebody did, I'll be like, somebody needs to get replaced here.
Well, first of all, we were watching that final
episode. Nobody's talked about that at all. All year. That's true. So.
What's there to talk about? Friendship, power up, villain gets beat up. Next arc.
I'm excited about the video game. Smile.
Video game. Let's go.
I'm excited about the game, so that's cool, right?
All right. Who's going next before we get attacked by the fairy tale stands?
My turn. So I wrote this list, and I have a lot of things crossed off and rewritten. So starting at number five is a show that when I watched the first episode, I knew was something special. I will say of this list, this story has the most interesting plot still At this point, I'm not sure what's going to happen next. Fire Force, number five. Okay. Fire Force is doing something that I'm hoping pays off in the end. I'm hoping we don't get Game of Thrones towards the end of this. I'm hoping that the story is good all the way through. So far, I really do like the cast of characters they've built. I like the kind of mystery that they have going on within the universe of Fire Force. I'm curious to see how it ends, 100%. So that's why it's number five. I like it a lot. But everything else on this list is just... I think I went solely on entertainment value for summer anime, and that's just me. But yes, number five, Fire Force. Number four, I knew I liked the manga of this one. Did not know that I would enjoy the anime as much as I did. It got better week after week, and just the studios that worked on this just did such a phenomenal job. Dr. Stone, number four, did so well. I love the characters that they brought to life. They did them so much justice. I did not anticipate for them to just bring Senku and everybody else to life as well as they did. I mean, the score, the plot, like just everything, the animation looks so good. I have had fun every single episode of Dr. Stone. I've had so much fun. The Stone world is interesting, and I can't wait to see what else they do with this anime-wise. It's great. Number three, this is the one that I pleaded for you guys to watch from the start because I didn't think that you were going to give it a chance. I knew I watched the first 10 minutes of the first episode and was like, this thing is going to be phenomenal. And number three for me is Vinland Saga. I loved it. I'm telling you, from the first 10 minutes of Vinland Saga, I loved it. Super strong characters, super strong themes. That's why I like this one. The themes in this one are super strong. James kind of hit it on the head. I love a really good revenge tale, and this is a really good one because I think it evolves beyond revenge, but not at this point, which is why I like it so much. Thorfinn is a character that we were going to always remember. I mean, Askeladd is going to be kind of that. He is a character that you would read about in an epic, like we read in the Odyssey and the Iliad, and that's why I really like him. I'm a big fan of that type of history, and so this is why I really like Vinland Saga. Vinland Saga is really well done. Not even that, this the history is really well done in Vinland Saga, so I like it a lot. Number two, this one might shock you guys a little bit. Number two is one of the best anime adaptations ever, period. I didn't have any expectations for this one. It's just that when it started, you watched the first episode and knew that this was like, okay, these people know exactly what they're doing. This is incredible. Number two is Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is phenomenal in every aspect. Story, score, characters, everything. Demon Slayer is so good. It is going to be one of the best anime ever. It will be. They're doing such a good job. And I mean, and they have really good source material to go off of. It's so good. I love it. So yeah, Demon Slayer is number two.
I should have known what your number one was going to be.
I told you guys earlier, like what, three episodes ago, that To the Abandoned Sacred Beasts was going to be my number one anime of the summer season. And let me tell you why. I know there are a lot of people who are like, who first of all, haven't watched it. Second of all, haven't heard of it. And third, just don't care. This show did what a lot of these other shows couldn't do for me, which Vinland Saga got very close. They play on emotion so well into The Abandoned Sacred Beast that it's almost hard for me to explain. With The Abandoned Sacred Beast, I feel bad for almost every single character, the good characters, the bad characters, the throwaway characters. I feel bad for all of them. But not only that, I feel like I understand their motivations and why the characters existed in the first place. Not a lot of these shows really do that well at all, or the mangas. Like, to understand why the characters exist in the world, period, is hard. But for this show to do as well as it did, I don't know. It did well. I connected with Hank. I connected with Shaw. I connected with Kane almost, because Kane is, he's a bad guy to be a bad guy. He is connected with Kane's brother. The war, I mean, war is real. I mean, let's think about this. I mean, for, you know, most of us, I mean, I'm a 90s kid. We've been at war since I've been alive in real life, you know, and it's not a war that we see because it's overseas. But wow, did they do a good job with depicting war and kind of just.
Dude, PTSD and exactly. What happens to soldiers after war.
Exactly. It is. It's hard to watch. And I'm not saying that, oh yeah, I love watching stuff like it's I don't love to watch stuff like that. I feel like it's because they did such a good job with it is why I picked this as my number one. They did such a good job with what they had.
Each episode really is 20 minutes long, and you can care about they each do character so in 20 minutes.
Much in 20 minutes. I loved it. I just it really hit me a way that none of the other ones did. And that's why it's my number one. I love To the Abandoned Sacred Beast. I really did. It's gonna forever be when people are like, oh, what's some of your favorite anime? It will always be on that list. It's one of my top favorite animes. Just will be. Straight up.
My entire top five will be on that list forever.
Yeah. I mean, and these we got some really good ones this summer. So like we got some really good ones.
We did.
An honorable mention for me, Sinful Gear. If I was caught up, I'm sure it would be very high on my top five for the summer. I love everything about Sinful Gear. I mean, it's a magical girl anime. It's a mecha anime. It's got incredible music. Sinful Gear is fantastic. So if you haven't watched Sinful Gear at all, give it a shot. If you like music, if you like magical girls, if you like mecha, if you like shonen, it's got all of that. It's great. I love Sinful Gear. So that's my honorable mention. But yeah, we were spoiled this summer, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
We've been spoiled in the year 2019, just period, for anime. So.
Oh, yeah, since the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
All right, my turn. All right, for my number five, the revenge story, the good depth, the story that it's good. Like, it's really realistic, and it's not just the action. It's really the focus is within the story, the revenge story of the theme. And even though we're supposed to, we get everybody's perspective, not just for Thorfinn, and we understand his revenge story, but we get Eshkalak, the war, what's going on with the king, the prince, technically an entire different situation, a world war among them is happening right now. And Thorfinn only cares about killing Eshkalak. And Eshkalak is like in the middle of everything. He could technically control everything into the field. He could be actually the next king if he plays his cards all correctly. And he did a great job with the last recent episode with avoiding door kill, hiding and playing all his surroundings and everything. He's a genius. But the thing is, I put this as number five. Because I feel like Attack on Titan's revenge stories is better than Vinland Saga so far with the anime so far. So I put that as number five. Number four, Fire Force. It was really, it's really colorful. It's really awesome. Like, it's really lit. But yeah, for sure. The opening for Fire Force was so catchy, was so addicting. I have that on loop still. Like, throughout the entire...
manga's way better.
And it's been good. Like, every episode has been great action, a good story follow-up. It took up to episode 9, but technically, that was a good wait. It's a good backstory to learn from all those from 1 through 8, and then you finally get the real story about his brother. He's still alive. He's technically doing this to stop the Infernos. He's technically trying to save his brother now and trying to learn the truth. There's so much more character depth that I feel for Shinra, more love of characters for Obi, the lieutenant, everybody. This good character development that I really love into this anime that I would put this anime as number four. Number three, To the Abandoned Sacred Beast. This was like the underdog of animes. Like, we had no idea. We did not expect it. We just, a really long name, and like, hey, it could be a very good anime, I guess, because it's a pretty long name. And it's a very interesting name too. It's just when we watched the trailer for this, we thought, oh, okay, we see monsters. Oh, a werewolf. We're seeing a vampire. Is this another, this is better than Twilight romance thing or something like that. After you give that first episode a chance, boom, you're hooked. The whole, you and your fellow soldiers have to finish this war, but in the end, you're all going to have to die, which is the cruelest shit. But then you have your best friend betraying you, put a bullet by killing the girl that you love, and after she put a bullet in you, there's a lot of so much drama within that first episode that got you so hooked that you kept on wanting to watch even more, feeling even more emotions, gets you so much sorry for the monsters, the villains, and stuff like that. Like you feel sorry for them, and they were not the ones to blame; they were the victims.
Yeah, it's not their fault,
and it. That's the, like, not many animes can do that. Like, they cannot connect you like this. I think is even if they didn't, it's like a good storytelling where even if they didn't turn into monsters, they became monsters because of this war and after the war. And society doesn't let you fit in into this new world. Number two is Astro Lost in Space for me. It gets really good. It's actually really good.
I don't know what to say. I knew this, but I knew that this was going to be on your list.
Like, yeah. It was very good. Like, first episode, last episode, the 45 minute long, and it was worth it. No, for 13 episode anime, really worth it. There's so much character development, it's like really entertaining. The main leader, the leader of this captain, he's ballsy. This kid is ballsy, but. That's the type of athletic kind of person you have. All these kids, they all have their own special traits, special quirks, as James said. And it goes even beyond that. There's a reason why they have all these best abilities and best quirks and all that stuff like that. And did you finish it, James, the series?
Not yet. I'm on episode 6.
Oh my god, it's really good.
I'm watching it sometime next week.
It makes sense. It definitely is a very popular kid's story of Star Trek. And I'm gonna read the manga in case it's actually much longer or there's still lost in space. I've been reading the manga
and it's really good.
Like, so much twists and turns in each episode. Like, there's always a good cliffhanger every single time until, like, throughout the last episode. For that 40-minute hour-long end,
I can see that they don't quite telegraph it like that in the manga, but I could see that for an anime. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Obviously, number one, Demon Slayer. Even if we're only counting the second court, episode 19. That is my argument. That animation style, that Hinokame, that music. Come on.
I'm telling you. You know, I love Demon Slayer. Loved it.
It's not just the animation style. It's also a great story. There's so much built into this fight. It's
everything.
And, like, it's not to say these people are saying, like, oh, just because it's a good animation, that's it? That's what make you want to watch this anime? No. We started this from the beginning. We started this in spring. Oh, yeah, we just have to suffer every single week to watch this new episode of Demon Slayer. This is not because of great animation. No, 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 sir. We waited blood, sweat, and tears to watch these episodes one-on-one. So they shouldn't even talk. Even if it's good animation and people were just trending in and people were just curious of what it is, you give them a chance to watch the first episode and that can either, and it just hooks you in to keep watching binging the entire season. It's just fantastic. Demon Slayer went really great. Not just if it weren't counted, we're not counting in 26 episodes. I'm counting the second quarter of the 13 episodes, and wow, from episode 14 to 26, three good arcs that went into them, and each and every time told great stories. And how you feel sorry for the villain after from one episode to another, where you hate them and you're scared of them. Next thing you know, next episode, they have a sad backstory this whole entire time.
Great story. I mean, overall, one of the best anime of 2019.
Mm-hmm. And although a demon killed his entire family, Tanjiro still feels
empathy. Has sympathy. Yep, sympathy and empathy.
All right, guys, we're in technically in our hour 15 mark, so we're going to end our podcast here. So, Ray, James, please give us your plugs.
Oh, James, you know, go ahead, my guy.
Yeah, you guys can find me every single week right here on the Anime Lately podcast. Follow me all over social media at C4Spoilers. Make sure to follow me at KeppaForSpoilers.com, where you can find links to all of the podcasts on the Keppa for Spoilers podcast network. Make sure to follow us on Patreon, where we have our first Patreon exclusive podcast called Best One, Worst One. It's our weekly show where we talk about, you guessed it, the best and worst of your favorite actors, directors. So you can find us everywhere. So check it out.
Last thing they talked about that I remember was It Follows. And I have no idea what that is, but they do. So that's great.
Oh, it's such a good movie, dude.
You should definitely watch them talk about that because they know a lot of stuff about movies, says Sam. but when it comes to me, I want you to focus on three places. You can find me anywhere at Ray Apollo online, including right now, rayapollo.tv. It's great. I have that domain now. It's fantastic. But I want you to follow me on twitch.tv/RayApollo. Let's see. Twitter.com/RayApollo. And YouTube. Look up Ray Apollo. No space. That's me. Right now on Twitch, we just played the Untitled Goose Game, having a fantastic time. Hilarious, by the way. When I'm not to toot my own horn, honk honk, but Untitled Goose Game was hilarious. One of the funniest games we've played all year. We're about to start Dragon Quest XI S on the Switch and have a fantastic time. If you love JRPGs, RPGs, anime games, I'm playing them. We're having a fantastic time. So like I said, it's Ray Apollo, no space, everywhere. Come find your boy and have a good time.
And guys, don't forget to follow me on everywhere on social media at Legendy Vash, and definitely on this coming Tuesday, where I will be giving some lucky winner on Ray Apollo's Twitch stream, where I'll be giving some random his sub a gift sub, because I love the best, so I have to honor it. So I'll be giving a nice gift sub to the random.
That was a bad bet on your part, but you know.
Hey, I thought I knew my friend. I guess I don't know them too well yet, so I'm apologize on that. I will work better to read my friends and observe them better and understand them. But follow me everywhere at Legendy Vash, and if you're there near Comic Con, I'll see you guys there. If not, hopefully you guys had a good time, and until next time.
Listeners, watchers, follow and support us on Facebook, Twitter, and Patreon at Anime Lately, and follow our other social media platforms at Twitter, Instagram at AnimeLately_. Anime Lately also has a YouTube channel where we do reviews of anime, mangas, and all kinds of live reactions. Check them out. If you like what you see, give us a like, comment, subscribe, and always press that bell notification so you got a new video coming out. Thank you guys for listening and watching. Hope you guys have a good day. Peace.